are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of Isaiah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the teaching of our God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is a multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asked this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is evil. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan, plead the widow. Thus ends today's reading.
Thanks be to God. Before I start my sermon, I'm going to check my phone really quickly. And I got a text message from someone who's worshiping online who wished me peace. So I want you all to remember that. As we worship together, we are worshiping truly with the members who are out there worshiping on YouTube. And we are one congregation together. So peace be with you, Kim. So with that reading, that scripture passage, we continue our recentering of ourselves on some of the practices that ground us in our faith. We've been using the book The Walk by Adam Hamilton, and maybe some of you, maybe many of you even, have been reading this book, and this book encourages us to engage in some intentional practices to help us form ourselves further, be formed even. And so far, since we started, we encouraged prayer and worship participation. And so far, I've been really good at being at worship. That's like been my number one. I've been so-so about praying, but you know what? I'm working on it, and we just pray together, right? Last week, Charlie talked about listening for the voice of God. And I hope that each of you have found the time to listen over the past week. Listening through scripture, or silence, or other people, for the beauty of creation. You know, after a long time in the pandemic wilderness, and while we still wander through that wilderness, these practices and the things that we do together are ways of getting us back on track. So as we wander together, we may not find the exact right path, and even if we did, we wouldn't follow it perfectly. But as we engage together in these practices, in practicing our faith, we can at least orient ourselves in the same direction. And the practice today, suggested by Adam Hamilton, is to serve. Serve like Jesus said. Jesus said this, "The greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." This is a model of servanthood that not only was talked about by Jesus, but that was lived by Jesus. For example, when he washed the disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And so to serve is an essential Christian practice given to us by the witness of the prophets, like the prophet Isaiah, and by the instruction and modeling of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as you can see, serving is a big deal. But wow, does Isaiah ever make a big, big deal out of it? I mean, listen to some of the words that the passage starts with. Trample my courts no more. I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. And then he says, even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. So what is Isaiah saying here? I think what he's saying is that worship and prayer are worthless, so everybody can go home and never come back again. Thank you. No, that's not it, actually. But it does. It does mean we need to have a good reason for our worship and our prayer. Solemn assemblies, of which this probably could count, with iniquity, are unendurable for God. But that doesn't rule out every solemn assembly. Our prayer and our worship have value still, significant, huge, enduring value. But we need to be mindful of why we are doing these things. We can't do this mechanically. We can't do this just because we're supposed to, or because Charlie told us to, or because Adam Hamilton said in his book that we need to. We can't just do that. We need to be the church that God tells us to be. We need to be a church of transformation, justice, servanthood. Because if the church is going to be and do anything in this world, we need to be different going out of it than we were coming into it. And I don't necessarily mean today. Today may not be the day that anyone changes at all. But by being a part of this community, by worshiping a God whose focus and love is in service to the poor, the oppressed, the dispossessed, that needs to make us better than we were. The act of worshiping again and again, worshiping this God, it should add up. An accumulation of a lifetime of worship directed towards a God who hates solemn assemblies with iniquity, who has had enough of our burnt offerings of ram, who is sick of the fat of fed beasts and is tired of the constant stream of bull. That is the God we worship. So if we're worshiping, and that worship does not turn us towards servanthood, what are we doing here? You know, if we spend our lives praying and it only calcifies the things that keep us from loving our neighbor, what are we doing? If we're reading a Bible, if we're reading our Bible, and it only reinforces our preconceived notions about people, about systems, about power, then why? Why bother? Worship and pray and study, to do these things without being irresistibly drawn towards service, means that we're ignoring a fundamental piece of what it means to love our God. The prophet Micah asks us, what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. When asked, Jesus told us specifically what the greatest commandment of all is. He said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. So if we love God, which we claim to do, which we do, and we take this love seriously, then our gratitude, our response, our love leads us to pursue God's passions. And God is passionate about us serving our neighbor, especially those who find themselves on the outside. When I think about my faith, when I think about what I do and where I am in relationship to my faith in God, there's a question that I ask. I ask myself, so what? So what? I believe in God. Great. I believe that the resurrection has proven that God is stronger than death and evil. I believe that the Holy Spirit is present with me in times of need. I believe that God is there for me. Great. So what? Who cares, right? If I'm the only one benefiting from my belief in God, that means I have a pretty small God. So what? What are we doing here? It doesn't need to shatter the foundations of mountains. Our so what doesn't need to transform the entire world or be publicly and openly recognized. If your so what is that you gave someone your time when no one else would, then your worship honors God. If your so what means that someone is less hungry today, then your prayers honor God. If your so what means that someone feels safer today than they did yesterday, you are honoring the great God whom we love and serve. And so as a person, and as a people, we need to be able to answer that question. We need to have that answer ready. So what? So we're worshiping back in person. We have coffee and donuts out in the courtyard. We're live streaming worship. We've got small groups that we're meeting in to grow together as a community and learn more about one another. These are good things. These are great things. I think they're valuable. I value them, and I think God values them too. And that's because I believe we have, as a congregation, as a people, we have a so what attached to ourselves. And we work together to define that so what as a people. So next week we're collecting snacks for the teachers who work at Glen Stevens. Go ahead, serve God. Bring some snacks for the people who work in a difficult field. Brighten some people's days. Through the month of October, we're collecting books for children and for people who are incarcerated. That's wonderful. Provide that gift to people. Come and do that. Come and do that next week. Or don't. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care if you do that. I mean, I do in a professional capacity and because I really do believe in these causes. But if the answer to the question, so what, for your faith means that you're going to work with Habitat for Humanity or the Dane County Humane Society or Just Dane or Centro Hispano or any other organization that you know serves God, go and do that. I'm not going to prescribe how you serve God. We can offer things here to help along the way. But I want you all to answer that question. So what? What are you doing? So where are some other places that you can go and serve God? I'm not saying that as a rhetorical device to provoke introspection, you know. I want to know, right here, right now, or in the chat on the YouTube video, where do you go to serve God? Shout them out, please. Where are some places that you go to serve God or places that serve God?
Red Cross.
The Red Cross, that's right. Give the gift of life through blood. Where else?
Habitat.
Habitat for Humanity, absolutely. Give housing, help people feel safe and secure. Where else?
A Grace
Hospice, absolutely. Help being with people in their last moments, provide them comfort and love. Where else do you guys help?
Second Harvest.
The East Madison Community Center? Amen. Where did I hear?
Second Harvest.
The Second Harvest Food Bank. Help feed our neighbors.
Mercy Mats.
Mercy Mats, that's right. We are crocheting mats for people to help them, for people experiencing homelessness, to help them sleep more comfortably.
Mercy
Corps internationally, absolutely. We love our global neighbors through our service too. We don't just serve the people immediately around us. Thank you. Thank you for letting me know the places that you serve God. It's beautiful. It's beautiful to hear and to know that we are doing this work together, separately, as a people, as God's people. And the service that we grant is not necessarily extravagant. Because the small acts, the little things, those are huge as well. In the book, in this chapter on serve, Adam Hamilton encourages us to serve one another through simple acts of kindness. His charge to the readers of the book is to try and engage in 5 acts of kindness per day. And I think that's a good start. It's worth trying. I want you to do that. Try and be kind to other people. Let the kindness that you do to other people, let that work on your heart. Let it take root inside you. And so that way we can be transformed. Let the kindness be internalized so that we can externalize God's love. Because prayer is good. Worship is good. Listening for God is good. None of these things will go away or lose their importance, but we need to make sure that we mean it. We need to make sure that we are transformed by the God who loves us, who made us, and who challenges us to love our neighbors, the God whom we worship and serve. So what does God see as the outcome of worship? Where do we direct our prayers? What does God love when we do? And when God speaks to us, what do we hear? I want to hear the prophet Isaiah speak. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. And when we do that, our worship, our prayer, our offering becomes alive. And so, if you hear one thing today, just one thing to take home with you, if nothing I've said mattered before, cease to do evil, learn to do good. Because in the good that we do, in the service we offer, in the love that we share, and the way we show that love to our neighbors in need, when we do that, God is honored. God celebrates, and this celebration becomes truly a sacred gathering.